This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is Nick in for Barry. I'm still here. Aaron filling in for Nick, and then he's going to do the blitz. And then aren't you doing late hits, too?
I don't know. We might be getting somebody else to do that.
Yeah, what about your guy?
I think he's busy.
He said he's staying in bed because everybody's pissing him off during this time.
Get him out of bed, Aaron. Final hour. Got a lot to cover. A lot of guys being released now in the NFL. Some big names. Delanie Walker, who's been dinged up, is another tight end that's on the market. Titans releasing running back Deion Lewis, linebacker Cameron Wake. A lot of franchise tags being considered. A lot of things going on. And the fact that in all of this, there are people pushing for the fact that they think that NFL free agency should be delayed. It should be pushed back because of everything with the coronavirus. And Emmanuel Acho of ESPN, who is a former player, staunchly disagrees with that argument because he says, I understand the argument to push back free agency due to the optics of multi-million dollar deals being announced during a scarce time with everything the world's dealing with. However, NFL teams are still releasing the hell out of players right now. The argument has a contradictory logic because, as I was saying to Nick in the break, it's one thing if Gal Media decides that they're gonna cut Nick. And 610 and 790 both want Nick. But because of the coronavirus and because of the potential to delay the season, suspend the season, or possibly cancel the season, they're not going to pay Nick. Now, Nick is waving in the wind without any financial agreement or backing or guaranteed money coming up in the future. And he gets to dangle in the wind. And the league is not allowing you to negotiate your next deal. That's a scary situation for a lot of these players.
Yeah, and that's the situation for a lot of those players, and they're gonna feel some type of way. I mean, they're gonna either try to, you know, encourage getting a deal as quickly as possible, or, like you said, lobby for a delayed free agency period because they want to get paid too, and they've got families, and most of these players, as you know, do this for their families, and they need to be able to get paid and paid quickly. So it continues.
It
absolutely continues. I mean, there's some good people out there. You mentioned Kevin Love. I think Giannis is jumping in on that board of donating money, right?
Yeah, that's a good story that we need to get to. The fact that we talked about it kind of on the same vein, whereas you've got all these different multi-millionaires that are going to be delayed with the NBA season. Baseball pushed back. But their contracts are there. Whether they get it now or later, they're going to get it. But we talked about the arena workers, the concession workers, the ushers, all these people that rely on these checks. Nick was so eloquently putting how you talk right up and down the line from security and ushers to all the different people, the vendors. They need these checks. And if they don't work and punch the clock and get these hours, they're not getting that check. And Kevin Love was the first to step up and say, I'm donating $100,000 to those employees that work in the arena representing home games for the Cavaliers. $100,000 goes towards them still getting their checks and the money that they need when these games are being pushed back. Now Giannis Antetokounmpo is doing the same thing, and he's donating $100,000 to the Milwaukee employees in the arena that at the Pfizer Forum. So that, and then the Atlanta Hawks as an organization stepped up and said, we're going to do the same thing across the board for all of our part-timers and all of our arena employees. Those are good stories that need to be promoted because more people need to do more things like this in trying times like we're in right now.
Yeah, the Pfizer Forum, that's an interesting story because as it reads on ESPN.com, after the season was suspended on Wednesday night, the Bucks emailed Pfizer Forum employees and told them that if they were on the schedule for Thursday's game between Milwaukee and Boston, those staff members would still be paid a guaranteed 3-hour minimum because the game was canceled less than 24 hours before staff was expected to be at the arena. So that's when Giannis and company, or I guess Giannis, decided to make that $100,000 donation for the staff, and I guarantee you that will help because you divide that among a massive staff. It's really not that much. But they're not getting paid a lot anyway. at least you can alleviate some of it, if not all of it. I mean, some like Mark Cuban, his plan, I don't know if it's official or taken into, his plan is to get everybody paid in full.
Good call. There's another guy that needs to be called out and credited for being out in front of this thing. Mark Cuban did
right.
the same thing.
He's put a plan in. I would imagine he's smart enough to make that plan work and get these people paid. So those are the people that I feel like are hurt the most. We talked about the low income and the you know, the areas of public schools where poverty is high. So there's a lot of people trying to help out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And that's something that needs to be commended, because there are people that are concerned with more than just themselves during this very, very trying time. So hopefully this is a situation that more guys jump on board with, because there are a ton of guys making a ton of money that really, I think sometimes they fail to realize it. And you've seen this, Nick. I've been a part of it firsthand. When you talk about from the time that those guys drive a block from the arena, once they start coming into the arena, there are the security guys escorting them down to their car. Then there's the valet guys that park the car for them so they can go right into the arena. There are the ushers and the security people that keep the right people away, the media people in, the guys that, you know, work in the locker room, the guys that, you know, make sure that when they're on the court or otherwise, they're being taken care of. I think a lot of times it's easy to forget about those people, and I think it would be very easy and a really good gesture to make sure that they're taken care of, because they didn't ask for this. They didn't do anything wrong to deserve this lack of income.
No. And that's going to be something that if it does elongate in the NFL, the NFL team owners are going to have that same situation. And you're talking, what, 50, 60, 70, 80,000 person stadiums that would require a bigger staff than, say, Toyota Center, who is what, a 16, 17, 18,000 person stadium or venue, I should say. So that's a big difference, man. That's a big difference, and that's going to cost a lot of money.
It really is. So I like to see the fact that, you know, guys are doing good things out there in the midst of all of this turmoil and uncertainty that we are dealing with. So we appreciate them. Someone said that they think the Red Sox made this virus. That way the commissioner's report on them will never come out. Look, it's a fair point. We get a text on it every single day. I don't know what the hell's going on. Obviously, now it's a different set of circumstances. Before we even got into the coronavirus, why haven't we heard about the decision on the Red Sox? It was due, and we were being told by Major League Baseball it would be coming forth like at the end of the week, three weeks ago. Now here we are, a month later, we got nothing, and no sign that anything is ever going to be released. Sorry, you're not playing games. You're dealing with all this other stuff. You got plenty of time on your hands, though, too. Let's finish up the report, guys. You said you're only doing one team at a time. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take for them to do that. And I don't know if this buys them enough time, but
I don't know, man.
I want to talk about, not necessarily here, but on the other side, about Dak Prescott. Because did you hear what Troy Aikman had to say?
He said
that it could have, the tag that's been placed on Dak could have some damaging effects on him. I want to get your thoughts on that.
Okay, cool. We get to that. We've got plenty more things to get to. Again, lots of guys being set on their way and bags packed, being released from NFL teams today as the NFL gets prepared for the start of their new year, regardless of whether there's going to be a draft or not. So we can get to some of those as well. Nick's got that story with Troy Aikman about Dak Prescott, and we've got plenty more things to get to. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776. That's our HRP listener line. You can call that number, text that number, or hit us on Twitter. It's the final hour of the show. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sciarra.
Back rolling through the final hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. This is the portion of the program where we remind you, if you missed any portion of today's show on an FEF Friday, all you got to do is go to ESPN975.com. click on the show tab for the Usual Suspects, which is located at the top of the page. The menu drops down. You get the hours that you missed. While you're there on the front page, you can also download the app, then take us anywhere, everywhere, and never miss any of our shows. So those are all great ideas.
Ding.
Yeah, there you go. So I was in the bathroom during a break, fellas, and a guy that doesn't even work for one of the maps or one of the stations under Gal Media. I'm at the sink. I'm washing my hands. And the guy, older gentleman, looks at me and goes, "You going to sing me happy birthday?" I looked at him like, "What the? Did you just say?"
It's a topic of discussion everywhere you go.
He's like, "I'm just asking, are you going to sing me happy birthday?" I'm like, and I'm thinking about it for a second. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, this is the whole thing where if you can't count to 20, I told you Taylor School said, if you're not advanced enough to count to 20 yet, sing happy birthday twice while you wash your hands. I didn't expect a 50-some, 60-some-year-old dude to look at me and go, "You're going to sing me happy birthday?" No, but I'm going to punch you in the throat if you ask me again like that, like with your little seductive eyes. What are you doing?
I feel like there's only particular conversations that you can have in a bathroom. I don't even know what they are. Just there's so many different conversations that can go very awkward in a bathroom. I just don't like having conversations.
Like walking up to a guy in a urinal and goes, "How's everything?"
I mean, if you're like washing hands.
Yeah, but not at a urinal.
Yeah, at a urinal, you're right. I wouldn't do that. That is kind of weird.
Right?
It is. But yeah. Look, man, everybody can't help but talk about it. Like they literally can't help but talk about it. Even people that you don't know, like grocery stores. When I went to the liquor store yesterday, Everybody's just randomly talking about it. But I did want to bring up this one story to you about Dak Prescott. Now, we all know that it looks like the Cowboys could potentially hit him with a tag. And Troy Aikman has been on record saying that could be very detrimental to the relationship between Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. My question to you is, we saw what Teddy Bridgewater was able to do in the absence of Drew Brees, right?
Mm-hmm. 5-0.
Do you hit him with the tag if you're the Cowboys, right? And then pay him whatever the average is when they're done signing all those, 30, 32, 33, whatever the hell it is, right? And then sign someone from free agency. Because then maybe Teddy Bridgewater has a good sample size, a little quick run of good games.
He got a new coach, right, in Mike McCarthy.
Yes.
But part of the reason they said that Mike McCarthy came to Dallas was he's a fan of Dak Prescott. I'm a fan of Dak Prescott continuing with the Cowboys at the right price. I don't think he is Russell Wilson. I don't think he's Aaron Rodgers. I don't think he's in that same ballpark in terms of overall talent and abilities. But I think he's above average. I think if you can get him signed to a long-term deal in that 33 range, I think you're doing yourself, your franchise, and your players a service. If you can't, and he's adamant that he needs to make that much money, you have a tough decision to make because you have to contemplate and look at the fact that for this upcoming season, I don't know that you find anybody better. However, you're in a situation where you're bringing in a new coaching staff, a new offense. You're going to probably start from scratch in a lot of ways. So if you do have to go out and get a new quarterback, it helps you. What hurts you is you've got a very talented roster that a lot of people think can compete for a title. If you step away from your quarterback that's been there, done that for your franchise for the last several years and start over and you have a new coach, the track record of you even making the playoffs and the percentages go way, way down.
Right. And I think the other problem, this is like if Dak holds out, and there's not really a long list of like really good quarterbacks who've held out. And I think Phillip Rivers did it once, but when you look at the list of quarterbacks who've held out, they're really not big names. So it's going to be interesting to see if that even happens. I don't know how the team would react if they did hit him with the tag. Dak actually goes with the holdout, and then they do sign someone else, because how is that team going to react to that particular quarterback, considering Dak Prescott has, I mean, whether you like him or not, he has been consistent. Like, he's been held out of practices for the first time, but he's had like 60 or 64.
He's durable.
Consecutive games.
Numbers were huge last year because of the offensive numbers that they put up. And, you know, you can say for whatever reason, whether they were playing from behind, had to throw the ball a lot. But the numbers don't lie. I mean, he put up some big-time numbers. But they have some big-time financial issues because of all the guys that they've already signed, from, you know, Smith on defense to Zeke to, you know, the fact that they have to sign Cooper. They They want to sign Cooper. They have to sign, do something with Dak as well. They've got so many different issues and so many different contracts they've already signed that they're not in the same type of situation as other teams that might just look and go, it's a no-brainer. We just give him whatever he wants because we can afford, you know, we can afford it and because we need him. I don't know what they're going to do. I know what I think the Jones family would like to do, and that is meet somewhere with a happy medium. I just don't know how Dak and his agent feel about, you know, going for top dollar or pulling a Tom Brady and saying, I'll take less so that the team can pay more to their entire locker room.
Yeah, I mean, look, the owner's been on record saying he wants to sign the quarterback. Whether or not he hits him with the tag or not, I guess is going to be, you know, it remains to be seen. But I think the other thing that you have to consider is the CBA and how much uncertainty there is in the CBA, which has left a few players off the market because of it. So you add that into the mix, it doesn't make the situation any easier. But it's something I feel like is a bit unprecedented. Like I said, you don't really see really good, like big name, like franchise quarterbacks that hold out. Now, I remember, like I said, Phillip Rivers, I think, was one of them. But outside of that, you really don't see big names holding out like that. So it's kind of unprecedented territory, not in terms of the holdout, but in terms of the position, the player that's holding out right now. So it's going to, that they have a big decision. I just thought that would be interesting to pick up just because they still haven't made a decision despite, you know, so much belief, I feel like, in that locker room in Dak Prescott.
Well, the interesting thing, too, is because I mentioned Amari Cooper. He could be a guy that says, look, I want to test the market. And you always gauge a lot, whether it's agent speak or the player speaking honestly from the heart. But he came out last week and said, I want to be a Dallas Cowboy. I love it here. I love the situation. I love how it's gone so far. And I want to remain with the Cowboys. That's big. Because now you know, unlike a Kirk Cousins situation when we're talking about the franchise tagging quarterbacks,
right?
He was a guy that the Redskins weren't sold on, that he was saying he knew what his price tag was and what he should be worth. And then it was the quickest way to a short-term solution and a long-term deal. Because they, at the end of the deal, knew they weren't going to pay him a big-time deal for multiple years. He knew what he thought he was worth and got it from the Vikings. And they parted ways. But in the short term, because they didn't have any other options, they kept him around.
Right.
It worked out. That's the way it kind of goes for quarterbacks.
Right.
When you get a guy like Cooper that comes out and says, because they may franchise tag him as well or transition tag him. If they tag him, he's a guy that's not talking about, well, I want to test the market. I know what I'm worth and I want to get it from somebody else. He's a guy saying, I want to stay. So if you're Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones, you go, whew. Okay.
Yeah, I know. That's the reason. I didn't know if that was a smart move on his part to say that, especially when you consider Jerry Jones is not really... he says he wants to sign Dak Prescott, but there's no definitive words that he's using to say, I'm going to sign him and pay him the money he wants. So I feel like that was kind of a gamble in terms of Amari Cooper saying that, because I'm sure that front office...
I think it is too.
I'm sure that front office, all right, we got a little bit of leverage here. Maybe we don't have to pay him all the money he wants. It'll be interesting to see.
I've seen it time and time again in the NBA, where as much as a guy loves playing for the Rockets and playing in Houston, publicly, everything that he says exactly the contrary to that, because of the fact that they can't set themselves up for failure. And it, you know, you go back to, I bring you the Clint Capella situation, right? He never got the max deal he thought he was worth. But what did his agent say? His agent didn't say, we love Houston and we want to stay there. His agent said, there are teams out there like the Phoenix Suns that are willing to offer him a max deal. Because regardless of whether you like Houston or not, the main objective from the Clint Capella camp was, I need to get as much money as possible. I want a max deal.
Yeah, and they used Phoenix as the team for leverage, which I don't know if there was anything, any other report outside of that one.
Oh, you know what happened?
Was it
they got the number one overall pick. They got the number one overall
Booker?
Pick, DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, Ayton, yeah.
So
yeah,
you get
yeah,
a seven footer. Now you don't need Clint Capella anymore.
Yeah, that's right. But but at the same time, that report was probably used as... I mean, we were talking about how
Kelly Eco was the guy that was working on breaking
the story. Well, there was a potential possibility that the agent might have planted that. We're not saying that's the case.
Right.
But he could have been the one that, you know, again, for leverage in hopes of getting his player that he represents paid. But I don't know. I don't know why he even thought he was worth max money, though. As much as I love Clint Capella, you know I...
And
I,
you do.
Max money, please. Like, calm down.
Well, when you have, you know, zero offensive ability, basically... except for putbacks and dunks, yeah, it's kind of tough to say that you warrant being an all-around player worthy of that kind of money.
No, I mean, he got what? I think it was 16, 17, and then 18, I think. Yeah. It was something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a few incentives in there, like $2 million or whatever, but still, I mean, that's good money for you.
Sure, it's good money. But again, getting back to the Cowboys situation, the bigger deal is they've already signed a lot of – it's like Bill O'Brien only with actually good players to sign. You know, they're throwing major money to put guys in the top of their position group in the NFL in terms of the guys they've already signed. And now you're talking about the most important position on the field at quarterback and one of the most important positions for a quarterback in their number one wide receiver. And you know what Amari Cooper did to change their offense once they got him in. And you know that without Dak Prescott, it would be they'd be hard pressed to have the same kind of offensive continuity. So
I think Troy's onto something, because I feel like that would aggravate any player if he doesn't get the money that he wants. He believes he's the guy. He believes he's the franchise guy.
He'll hold grudges and it'll chap his ass. There's no doubt about it.
You know what I feel will happen in those type of cases when he makes a mistake or when he's not playing well. He may not take as much responsibility as you'd like him to. He may not be as coachable at that point because he's still angry about the contract. And I'm not. That's all speculation. I'm not saying that's going to happen. But if there's really that much of a consensus in that locker room to keep him as the franchise quarterback, I feel like it's a dangerous move, too, to go with someone in free agency in the event that Dak Prescott holds out. But we'll see if any of that happens. So
we shall see. You know what else we should see? We've got the final 30 minutes of the show coming up next. So we've got half hour left to go before we turn it over to the Blitz. Stay tuned. It's all coming up next. ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the final half hour of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us along for the ride on an FEF Friday. Fellas, I expected this. I didn't expect it this to this level, but there's a couple things to get to here. First things first, and let me find it again, because it's absolutely the opposite of what we were talking about when we were talking about the likes of Kevin Love and the Greek Freak and the Atlanta Hawks organization and Mark Cuban doing the right thing, stepping up for people, because this is going to be a really tough time. And doing things for the people that live paycheck to paycheck and aren't going to be getting paychecks because of this suspension of the NBA season. Well, now Jason Kebler is out there, blue check mark and all, reporting that Whole Foods CEO is suggesting that employees who are not sick donate their vacation time to employees who are sick. Are you kidding me?
Golly.
I mean,
it's getting ridiculous.
Seriously? Instead of stepping up as an organization and going, Whole Foods values their employees. If any of our employees feel the need to self-quarantine or, God forbid, come down with this virus, we are going to be here for them. You don't do something like this and make it public. You don't do it privately. You just don't do it. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I'm reading that it's usually 10 to 15 days off per year, pay time off in Whole Foods market. Second most important benefit besides healthcare when ranked by employees. That's pretty. I didn't know if it was something that was said verbal, but I totally agree with you. If you make that public, you're an idiot. If you approach them about that, someone's going to be angry, and in the era of social media, is going to take to Twitter and just have at it because they don't want to use their vacation time.
Let me ask you guys this. Mr. Raybould, would you like to chime in?
I don't. I was kind of busy prepping a show yesterday, but J.A. Adonde's tweet, did y'all address that?
Didn't see it.
This was, I think, yesterday. Was it yesterday or the day before? J.A. Adonde said, you know, the people who bought those tickets, they shouldn't be getting refunds for all these NBA games and all these sporting events that were canceled. It needs to go to the hourly employees at the arenas. Because the people who bought those tickets, that's just disposable income for it. They're not going to miss that $200 to go sit down in the lower bowl to see the Rockets.
So he's telling
check his
people
Twitter.
What to do with their money. It's not his money.
Well, he's so wrong, too, in the fact that most of those, especially in the Toyota Center, we know where the seats are full in the Toyota Center. And it's the people that are lower income, they're upper. They're not necessarily got money just because they're sitting up there.
Right. So no, they're up there because they're just diehard fans. We know that the guys, the seats.
If they were diehard fans with money, they'd be sitting in the lower levels, and they're not.
Or would they be there? Because the bottom line is those seats in the club level are sold in a lot of cases. People just don't use them. They don't show up. They just throw, you know, they basically try and give them to employees last minute because they forget they're in their drawer. It drives the Rockets front office nuts because they want a full house and they want, you know, raucous fans, and they don't get it because the people that buy those tickets say it's ours to do whatever we want with them, and you can't tell us when we should show or don't show and what to do with them.
Yeah. I mean, I do understand that there's a tendency to kind of take from the people that does have money and give it to those who don't make that much money and are affected more. But at the same time, I think his rationale is a bit off.
This isn't on Jay Adande. This isn't in his. He is not in a position to tell people what to do with their money, whether it be the seats are owned by a business or by a private individual customer. But the right thing to do is what the Atlanta Hawks, Mark Cuban and the Mavericks, and if you want to take it a step further, the very highest of high-paid players stepping up like Giannis, like Kevin Love, because they're in a position to do so.
Right, and I think that's a part of the problem with his argument. He's making the argument that those guys, that's like another blip in the radar. I feel like that's the tone of his. I mean, I haven't seen the tweet. I'm kind of on his Twitter trying.
He's deleted it. I've got the actual. So please. Luckily, the Big Lead was able to screenshot that. Fantastic. And write an entire Good. Article about it.
Good.
But the tweet says, "Quote: Rather than refunding the tickets, give the money to the arena workers whose paychecks are going to take a hit." It's literally disposable income for the people who bought the tickets. It isn't for the people who need to work these events to pay their bills. That was on the 11th, so 2 days ago.
Could not be more false. That's just absolutely inaccurate. A lot of those people that are up there do not have money. They're saving money just to go to that game.
Correct. Yeah, when I was a kid, my parents would save up for months and months to buy 4 tickets to go.
That's why he deleted it, because it was a dumbass tweet.
But the fact that it was screenshotted and an article is written about it, he's not going to escape
it. He's too big of a name. I mean, he's got over 500,000 followers. He's too big of a name. So he's going to I can see people screenshotting it for blogs and websites to get the clicks. Absolutely. And I mean, he can delete it, and it's probably still necessary despite the fact that the Big Lead was able to, by the way, I forgot who runs that. He actually used to do a show here from the publisher of the Big Lead, and he's really quick about that stuff, man. He's really, I think he had a radio show on Fox, but he's really quick about that stuff. So even if you do delete it, especially with a following like Jay Adande, he's capturing that.
Once it's out there, it lives forever.
Yeah.
And no doubt about it. Now, let me ask you guys this, because I flirted with this. I told you guys it was going to happen, and lo and behold, I just got the email that says Taylor's school is closed. I told you that. Now, Lisa just sent me this. And I'm interested in your opinions on this. It says, during the time that the school will be closed, we're going to continue to pay all of our teachers and employees to support their wages and all other school expenses. We're asking your cooperation. It will not be feasible for us to refund any part of the tuition fees while your student is not going to be in school for the next 2 weeks, which we pay for. If you haven't used all of your personal vacation days for your child, you can use them now. This will allow us to give you credit for the unused vacation days later. So they're basically saying, pay us for childcare that you're not going to get.
Say that it wouldn't be feasible for them. So, I mean,
I'm asking, am I?
No, I think
out of place for saying that doesn't seem to be right.
Well, they're asking for it, so just tell them no, right?
Yeah, I would say hello.
I would say no. I don't.
I'll take my check back. Yeah. What is this vacation days for your child thing? What
so
is
like,
that?
So, when you're not like a real full time student in first grade or whatever it is, right?
Okay,
you get a certain amount of days that you can use as vacation days, where you are credited for them if they decide to go visit their grandparents or you go on a family vacation. So you don't have to pay for those days.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So you get a certain amount of allotted days that you can get a refund for.
I think that whole thing is garbage, and I would say no. If they're asking you, if that's how it's worded, I would just say.
I just think that's, you know, that's not a great way to do business.
I don't think it's feasible for me not to get my money back, so go ahead and issue that damn refund.
There's other schools in the city. See ya.
Yeah, it's.
I just don't know how much leverage you have in that situation. I don't have kids, and I don't deal with the daycare. I can only imagine. So, that to me just sounds like a headache. I commend you for dealing with that, but you need one, and you have to deal with it. And so, if they're really wording it as we're asking you, just, I don't know. I'd play broke. That's what I would do. I'd be like, look.
I don't like it. But, you know, they've done things in the past I don't like. But I wanted to get your opinion to make sure that you guys say that I'm not, you know, going off the deep end the wrong way here.
I don't think you
I
have
just think
to,
it's because... one thing to say, hey, look, because they're not Fort Bend ISD. They're not in a school system. It's a privately owned school. So it's up to them to make whatever decision they make. But if they're not filing, they're not having to follow a public school board decision, then if you want to make the decision to shut down,
that's on you.
That's on you. That's the way I look at it.
And maybe this is, I'm not trying to call them a dirty company or anything, but maybe this is just approach for them. Look, they're asking. They must have sent this to everybody else. They're hoping a few of them are just like, you know what, whatever, keep the money. Maybe not all of them do that, but maybe a few of them do that. It's like the whole thing. I was actually talking about this with somebody in Las Vegas. You know how in the rooms they'll have like bottles of water in the rooms, and if you pick up that bottle, it like dings you for the bottle because there's like a sensor at the bottom of the bottle, and it'll tell the front office, the front desk that, hey, you picked up that bottle, you got to pay for it, right? Do you know how many times that's happened in hotels in Las Vegas? You don't think to a certain extent that those hotels are like, you know what? If it's such a headache because we get 100 of these a day, but if, I don't know, 20 of them agree to pay, even if they didn't take the water, it would be worth it to go through that headache, right?
Because they do the same thing with the spank division, right? Because it used to be when you traveled on the road, in hotels, you have to pay for the movie, but you can preview it for like the first however many minutes.
I don't know. I've never ordered anything.
I have no idea. I didn't even know that there were sensors under the bottle of water.
And a lot of the hotels in Las Vegas.
Whenever we used to check out of hotels when we were on the road, right? When we were traveling, when we used to check out of hotels, the biggest thing the front desk had to deal with were all the people saying, I didn't order that movie. I didn't pay for it. So all they would do is they'd watch the first however many minutes and then try and shut it off before. And I think you got a couple free previews before you had to pay or whatever the case may be. But whenever we were checking out, we are like, because, you know, we had an early checkout. We had to get to the arenas and things like that. It never failed. The front desk was full of people that were trying to make sure that they didn't get charged for the porn movie. It was nuts. Literally. Seriously.
I feel like if you ordered something digitally, it's kind of hard to avoid. It's kind of hard saying you didn't.
I've never heard that with the water bottle.
Because I would imagine when you order something from a TV, you have to hit order, and then there's something that says, I don't know, are you sure? Confirm? Yes? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So you just accidentally went through? Like, I don't know. I've never ordered anything from a hotel room. Like, not from a TV. But I've seen that happen to me. I've had to fight off that expense before because it wasn't cheap.
Yeah.
It was not cheap. I literally picked up the bottle of water. I think I picked up the can of Pringles. I picked up maybe one or two more just to look at it.
I never heard of that
before. I haven't either.
I know that they used to send a human being in there with a clipboard
to check.
To take inventory. I never heard that it was like sensors digitally.
Yeah, but you can't do that at a hotel like the MGM.
Why not?
Because it's massive. It's a massive...
The cleaning crew does it. That's just part of the daily checklist.
Every day you have your room cleaned, the lady checks it.
Right. So you're going to have to bring that up at the front, and they're going to literally send someone to the 37th floor to confirm this. I've been through this multiple times. I'm telling you. I've been to Vegas quite a bit, and I'm telling you...
I'm not saying that you're lying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I've never heard of it. That's completely crazy because I usually move everything because I don't like how things are organized.
And also, if you're staying for, say, 5 days... and you don't want your room cleaned every day, they just come in before your checkout date and they check the inventory on the bar and the snack area, and then they set that as part of the bill.
I don't know. I've never set up in hotels that are fancy enough to have a mini bar and all that stuff. I see the bottle of water and the coffee maker, and that's it. Other than that, I stay in poor people hotels.
It's probably, for the MGM, I can see how like it would be a headache just considering someone could be potentially like staying on the 75th floor or something like that. And that would take forever to confirm. Granted, they have a lot of employees.
Yeah, you got all those cleaning people.
Yeah.
You can do it as part of the cleaning service.
And I've heard this happen to people with mini bars too. They open up the mini bar,
they pick up
that bottle of Jack. Ding, you get hit for it.
If I put the bottle of Jack back, ding, you ain't paying.
Yeah,
ain't,
I'm not.
Exactly.
I'm with you.
You ain't paying 50 cents. You ain't getting no Coke. If I put the Coke back, you ain't getting my 50 cents.
Yeah.
How about that? All right, you know what you are going to get? Final segment of the show coming up next. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. I'll tell you my sins and you can shop at night.
Offer me that deathless. You're listening to to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
You're listening to The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank, Barry Laminack, and Nick Sharara.
Back for the final segment of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. JT Aggie, listening, driving back from Florida on vacation. Appreciate you listening. Said it sounds like H-Town's is losing its mind right now. No, I just think the whole country is very uneasy right now with everything that's going on. And the way, you know, we're being told things. But then there again, like I said, whether it be the Amazon situation or what Nick and I talked about even yesterday and some of the people that have texted us information with people that they know with inside of government and otherwise, saying there's a whole lot they're not telling us right now. Because this thing is such a massive pandemic, there is a lot of wiggle room for a lot of people to freak out.
Yeah, and, you know, I saw, you remember your boy Raj, right? I just saw him tweet out an article about these researchers being able to isolate, like, the main component, I guess, or the main part of the coronavirus and some of the specimens that they've been able to test. And this might be, like, it might be something to help speed up the problem, the solution to a problem that we have right now. I don't know if that's the key, but I do know every time I look at Twitter and every time I wake up in the morning, I feel like the situation has only elevated. I don't feel like it's gotten better, but there's doctors out there that feel like they have done enough research to the point where you might be able to eradicate a lot of the cases, especially the ones where we're in fear of older people losing their lives.
Yeah, so. And there's a lot of different layers to this, right? Because a lot of people are saying, and we had a story earlier in the week about the Chinese government thinking that they were going to have a vaccine for this as early as April. But they don't have to deal with the FDA. The FDA, with the Food and Drug Administration, it's the same way a lot of people go to Mexico to get treatment that they need because it hasn't been approved in the United States yet because of the FDA.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things where you got to take the most brilliant medical people, minds and scientists and everything, and put them all, you know, in contact with one another and
then
say,
get
look,
them through the regulation
yeah,
process.
Just say, look, regardless of what the FDA regulation press and all this is, we just got to get the solution or the best case solution as quick as possible to as many people. And the other thing is these tests, because I told you as we were preparing for the show today, the crazy thing is that someone in Charlotte, North Carolina, that had a blue check mark, went out there and said, this is crazy. Charlotte, a major city in the United States, and I was just told in the entire city, they have 3 test kits for coronavirus in the entire city.
Well, you better start manufacturing some more. Because it's, I don't know if that's going
to. We're talking about, what is it, South Korea and China testing up to 10,000 people a day. In some cases, having a drive-through test station available. And you can't get 10,000 tests in a week in the United States? Come on, man.
How did that happen, though? Why is there such a, like, why, how did that, I just don't understand how that could, it could get to that point, but. I'm assuming nothing can happen overnight. They're probably going to have to manufacture these tests, and it doesn't necessarily take a short amount of time. That's crazy to me. I can't believe, but a lot of people say there's some of these states were more prepared than others. So not every state was absolutely prepared for something like this or a pandemic, and that's why they're not as, I mean, Italy is a classic example in terms of countries. A lot of people make the argument because they're literally deciding on who to live and who to die in some cases over there. And that's bad. That's terrible because they could have prevented it if they had a little bit more precaution. Maybe not panic, but a little, if they just took a few more precautions, they may not be in that situation.
But I said this to you a while back and then it came and resurfaced in the last couple of days. But the fact when you talk about could have done something to prevent it, there was a doctor in China that was all over this months ago.
Yeah.
and brought it to the attention of the government. Instead of being receptive to the entire issue and what they need to do to make sure that it doesn't become the pandemic that it's become, they basically told him if he puts it out there, if he starts telling people this, he's going to be arrested, that the government's going to put him in jail, and they're going to reprimand him. And he's like, are you kidding me? This is talking about a life and death situation. Well, lo and behold, it was, because he got the virus, he was in the hospital, and he passed away.
Yeah, and everything continued. Look, even Aaron Wilson, he's talking about all these pro days that are being canceled. Akron, Boston College, Brigham Young, like you mentioned before, Central Michigan, Kent State, Mississippi, Nevada, Las Vegas, Portland State, San Diego State. It's just an incredible. You can add SMU to the list. Like, that's just incredible how many things have to be canceled. There might be some truth. I can't tell you otherwise. I'm not an expert in this, so I'm not going to sit here and say that doctor was right or wrong, but that was his belief. He said it was spreading for weeks, maybe even months, and then he later died, which is an unfortunate situation.
But here's what it brings it back to, fellas. At this point, whether we're talking, so many of you want to throw Trump under the bus right now and make this political. This isn't about political, and this isn't about placing blame, and this isn't about who did what when to let this get to this point. It's about everybody coming together so that we can figure out how to get by this, how to get our arms around this, to contain this, and to make sure that it doesn't continue to be what it has become worldwide. That's what we're missing here. That's what so many people are doing when they're pointing fingers in the wrong direction and wasting energy. It's about the best medical minds coming together and trying to figure out a solution right now. It's not about... You're not going to get anything solved pointing fingers and placing blame.
Yeah, I mean, that's why when I see these speeches by Trump, you know that's what's going to happen. A lot of people are going to focus on, you know, how bad or good of a president he is, as opposed to just focusing on the pandemic and making sure everybody's okay. That's why I don't really like bringing him up too often, to be quite honest. But hey, hopefully people can focus. Hopefully this gets eradicated. Use hand sanitizer and spray everything down, people.
Wash your hands. Forget the sanitizer is a short-term.
Don't be filthy like me. Actually wash your hands.
But wash your hands and wash them thoroughly and just be smart out there. If you don't have to be at the mall, if you don't have to be in large congregations of people, don't. Obviously, keep the elderly and the children first and foremost at the top of your mind and the way you protect everybody out there. But if you can just use some common sense.
Party at your house this weekend? Party at the Blanks?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because.
I have nowhere to party.
Well, because my dogs are there.
All these bars are closing down. I can't drink. I need a place to crash, bro.
Well, you know what? Barry's out of town. Just tell him to let you know where the key is.
Oh, dude, as big as a germaphobe he is? Come on, dude. There's no way.
Nothing wrong with that. Take care of your business, man.
I got you.
All right.
I might not
have a good weekend. Aaron, we appreciate you. Sorry you got the long day, but we appreciate you spending some of it with us. And you guys, too. We appreciate the suspects. We shout out to you guys. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll be back next week, and so will you, hopefully. And for Nick and Aaron, I'm Joel, Fred, AJ, and again, Aaron, coming up next on The Blitz, right here on ESPN 97.5.
I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not. Yeah, boy.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.